Welcome to the Issue Is podcast. I'm Alex Michelson. This week, a conversation with the top Republican in California's Assembly, James Gallagher. For somebody who's in a position that doesn't have a tremendous amount of power because Democrats have supermajority in the Assembly, Gallagher's had a lot of influence. Republicans have been aggressive on issues like fentanyl, on issues like the gas tax, and now recently on the issue of increasing penalties for child sex traffickers. And they've been effective at pushing some of these bills along, as they were in this incident. We talked to him about that, about his plan on issues like homelessness and where we go forward in terms of him and the new speaker, Democrat Robert Rivas. And really enjoyed this conversation in studio for our first time. Here is Republican leader James Gallagher. James Gallagher, we've talked via Zoom many times, but it's your first time in the House. Nice to have you in the studio, and welcome back to The Issue Is.
Yeah, great to be here, Alex. Thanks for having me.
All right, so let's talk about that issue. Child sex trafficking got so much attention around the world, really. What was really happening behind the scenes on that front?
Well, look, I mean, this is just a common sense policy that we need to hold, you know, to the greatest extent possible, child traffickers accountable. You know, it hasn't been considered a serious felony. We've been trying actually for years to make it a serious felony. And I think people were just outraged when they saw that this bill that had bipartisan support, 40-0 in the Senate, get stalled in the Public Safety Committee.
How does that happen? I mean, what's really happening there?
It really highlights just how radical these public safety committees have gotten in the legislature. They will not support any new policy that creates a new crime or new penalties for crime. And they've taken this to just a radical extent, you know, to where a bill that, you know, again, has bipartisan support, overwhelming support, can get stalled in this committee.
So what happens to that bill going forward? Because now it's technically out of the committee, but it's not a done deal yet.
Yeah, so now it has to go to appropriations, and there's still some threats that they're going to try and change the bill, water it down. You know, Senator Shannon Grove is saying, hey, I'm going to stand strong because we need this policy in place to better protect our children and to ensure that we have accountability for these monsters who are victimizing. You know, California has some of the highest rates of human trafficking in the nation, so we need this policy. We hope there's not going to be any shenanigans as it goes to appropriations, and ultimately it'll be voted on the Assembly floor.
What does it say to you that Governor Newsom actually sided with you and not with the Democrats in his own party?
Well, we were grateful for the support. You know, like and I think a lot of people weighed in, and certainly the public was outraged. And, you know, we as Republicans, we want to push for common sense reforms. This criminal justice experiment that we've had in California is a failure. And we can see that in every city. Violent crime is on the rise. Fentanyl crisis that we've really been trying to push for tougher penalties for dealers. You know, we have to have these things in place. And so we're going to continue to push for that. And I think we'll have success.
Somebody else that was pushing back on the Democrats on that committee is the brand new Speaker of the Assembly, Robert Rivas,
right,
who is somebody that you have to work pretty closely with in your job. What do you make of Speaker Rivas, and what's the nature of your relationship going into this?
Well, I've had a good relationship with Robert. We both are from rural areas and, you know, represent areas that have issues with agriculture, water. So we've already worked together, and I'm looking forward to working with him as him being the speaker. On this particular issue, as I said, we really pushed the envelope, and we were saying we were actually going to force a vote on the floor of the Assembly to bring this, you know, to the full body. He called me that morning and said, hey, we are going to hold an urgency hearing on this in the Public Safety Committee. And I give him credit for that. You know, so that bill was able to move forward. And I think it was an example of how we can work together to pass reasonable policy. But make no mistake about it, that wouldn't have happened had Republicans not pushed for this policy to be heard, this bill to get passed.
And had there not been such a public outcry as well, a reminder
exactly
that people need to speak up if they want to see something happen. So Robert Rivas is replacing Anthony Rendon, who was the speaker for a long time before that. He was on our show as he was about to leave that office and talked about you when talking about homelessness. Here's some of what he had to say.
I think it's fair for people to be critical. I think it's fair for people to be concerned. One thing that Jim Gallagher, the minority leader, and I agreed on at the outset of this year was we need to look at accountability matrices. We need to make sure that the cities and local governments are spending that money effectively. But people are right to be frustrated and concerned about homelessness.
In your view, has the state of California failed when it comes to homelessness?
I'd say we as a state have tried to do quite a bit, the sort of collective whole, the state and the municipal governments working together. I'd say we have a lot of work to do for sure. But yeah, the problem seems to be increasing.
I mean, would you say the state has failed when it comes to homelessness?
I mean, absolutely. I don't think there's any other way you can look at it. And, you know, again, Anthony was somebody I worked with as well. We did agree that we need more accountability and oversight when it comes to this money and how it's being spent. But the other thing is we need a change in policy.
Right. I mean, what does that look like? Because clearly, you know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. We keep pumping more money into homelessness, and the problem gets worse over and over again. What sort of radical change do we need to see when it comes to homelessness so we have a different result?
Well, you know, we can look to other states. So, for example, Texas, you know, is spending about $800 to $900 per homeless person. And they've actually gotten results because the policies they're putting in place are actually reducing homelessness, getting people off of the streets. California is spending over $10,000 per homeless person. We spent $17 billion on this problem only to have it actually get worse. So we favor, Republicans, getting people off of the streets, having enforcement on encampments, and ensuring that people get into actual services that are going to get empower them out of homelessness instead of enabling them in homelessness.
I mean, because we had a situation not that far from where our studio is in Santa Monica, where a Santa Monica City Council member was attacked by a homeless person this week. And his response was, we talk so much about our compassion for the unhoused. How about compassion for the housed? Compassion for people that don't feel safe after paying tax dollars and trying to do the right thing. What does that actually look like? I mean, is that a quote-unquote shelter-first approach instead of housing-first approach, meaning get people off the streets immediately, even if it doesn't mean some beautiful apartment?
Well, I think it means, like, giving people the option of saying, hey, we have a place for you to go that is going to have wraparound services, is going to have mental health treatment for those that need it, that's going to have drug treatment for those that need it. And we have a lot of those resources, and I think working regionally with counties and cities to have these regional approaches is a more effective way of addressing the crisis. Instead of spending more and more money on really expensive housing, you know, in LA County here alone, you know, $760,000 a unit to house one homeless person. That's not an effective use of our dollars. We can band together with local governments to ensure that we're actually resolving this problem, getting people off of the streets. And for those that are not going to accept those services, yes, there needs to be enforcement. There needs to be accountability. You can't just live on our streets and victimize people on the streets. It's not acceptable.
Of course, right now the courts say unless you have enough housing for people, you can't force somebody into housing. Right now we need more housing in order to do that. Let's talk about another problem, which you could sort of say the definition of insanity, which is Republicans' success when it comes to California politics. Because right now you're in the minority, the super minority. The Democrats have super majorities in both houses. What have Republicans done wrong to put yourselves in this position, and how do you fix it going forward?
Well, I think for one, we haven't really gotten out there and told people what we want to do as Republicans. And so when I came in as leader a year ago, I said, we're going on the offensive. No longer are we going to play defense to the Democrats. We're going to go out there and say, here are the problems and here's how we would solve them. And we rolled out what I call the California Promise, where we had a list of policy proposals, how we would tackle homelessness, how we would deal with the fentanyl crisis, how we would deal you know, with the affordability crisis in California. We need to lower people's costs. We took on the gas tax and said we should suspend that and do something right now to help lower people's costs. And we made the Democrats be the ones to say no. Because I think for too long, Republicans have always been in that position. You know, they're positioning themselves and pushing us to be the party of no. Mm-hmm. Well, we want them to be the party of no, and they have been. You know, because we've been proposing these things. That's what we saw in fentanyl this year. They said no, and ultimately the people were with us, and they had to move these things forward. The pressure was built, and we saw that again with child trafficking and good policy that's going to hold these monsters accountable.
Do you think that the state party is too closely associated with Donald Trump, and in a state where he lost by 30 points, that still hurts you guys in these local elections?
You know, look, I think Republicans, especially right now, you know, and in the, with the new leadership that we've had with Jessica Patterson as our chairwoman, we have positioned ourselves as the problem solvers in California, as the people who have real solutions to the problems facing California. And that we're saying, look, these need the focus: affordability, homelessness, public safety, crime's gotten out of control. Let's change that. Let's actually do something about it. And so what we're trying to tell the California voters is take another look at us. You know, mm-hmm. take another look at this Republican Party who has solutions. And look, you have to admit that the Democratic supermajority has not been good for California. Homelessness exploding, crime on the rise, your cost of living exploding more and more every day. Nothing that they have done has lowered your cost of living in California. And I see that as one of the greatest crises that we are facing right now.
Are you going to endorse in the Republican primary?
I have not endorsed. You know, I'll be looking at these candidates, yeah. you know, and we'll hear from all of them. I think you got to give people the chance to get out there and talk to the voters, see who's connecting, what are the issues they really want to focus on.
And the California primary is going to be really important. It's in March. It's early, more delegates than anywhere else in the country. So candidates, come here and come on our show. Okay, let's talk a moment about you, get people a chance to get to know you a little bit.
Sure.
You posted a picture on Instagram that I thought was really hilarious. This was your daughter's prom. And you're standing behind with the gun, sort of making a point about protecting everybody. What was this moment like for you as your daughter's getting a little older?
It was a having fun moment. Yeah. You know, my daughter, you know, is 16. This was her prom. And I actually like her boyfriend quite a bit. He's a good guy. You know, we fished together. And, you know, so I said, hey, this would be kind of fun to do this. And, you know, overwhelmingly people got it. You know, yeah. they got the joke. Certainly had some folks out there who were saying some, you know, pretty horrendous things, actually. Yeah. And that's unfortunate. I mean, in this politics, sometimes right. we get people that, you know, just say outrageous things about your family. And, you know, so I didn't appreciate that very
sure.
much. But this was a light moment, you know, with my family, who I love very much. I have five kids yeah. with my wife, Jana.
Well, let's talk about that. Father of five. I don't know how you do that and anything else. So how do you balance that? And how do those kids sort of shape your worldview in terms of what you do as leader?
Yeah, I mean, it shapes everything. You know, I mean, so my wife and I, we've known each other for a long time. We've been married for over 20 years now. She is my partner in all this. I couldn't do the job that I do without my wife. And so, look, I mean, it's always a challenge in politics to find the right balance. But I think we do. And I think my kids also know that, you know, we're fighting for something better. I'm the sixth generation Californian. Mm. And I want to ensure there's a seventh generation that's living here and enjoying the great opportunities and benefits of the state. And so that's why I do the work. And they know that. It's a family effort. It's a team effort. You know, I think so far we've been doing a good job of representing the people of the 3rd District.
Before you go, we do something on the show called Personal Issues. This is where we put 30 seconds up on the clock. And we do rapid fire of your cultural favorites.
Right.
So here we're going to see how this goes. Last time we stumped you on a few. What is your favorite band or musical artist?
Dropkick Murphys.
What's your favorite book of all time?
That's a tough one. Grapes of Wrath is up there.
Good one. Yeah. California. Who's your favorite athlete?
Was Michael Jordan. I would say these days, Dak Prescott.
Oh, very nice. Best part of being a Californian?
You know, just the legacy of opportunity, you know, in California.
Very nice. And who's your role model?
My father. Yeah. Who worked very hard to make sure that, you know, myself and my brothers had every opportunity.
Very nice. James Gallagher, great to have you here. I hope you come and visit us here more often.
Our thanks to James Gallagher. Our thanks to you for listening. This week, we actually put out two podcasts, so we encourage you to check out our conversation with Democratic presidential candidate Marianne Williamson. Next week on The Issue is Brett Baer is going to join us. In the meantime, we hope you'll reach out in social media, share, like, comment, let people know about what we're doing here. And we'll see you next time for more of The Issue Is.